Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful spring-like day. Wow. Getting one more weekend of spring before the hot weather sets in. Just a few announcements, of course, and corrections. I always have corrections to make for the bulletin. The choir will not practice this week in the annex. We will wait until the last Wednesday of June, which gives potential choristers a chance to come to choir practice. So if you would like to swell our ranks, please plan to come. What's all this giggling going on here? There are singers in this room. So the last Wednesday of June, we will have choir practice getting ready for our big 4th of July worship service. Now, I do need to mention that the funeral, the graveside service for Miles Morgan, this is the grandson of Michael Ellis, the son of Caitlin Ellis Morgan, will be on Tuesday at 11. Is that right? Did I get it right? Tuesday at 11. So I forgot to put that in. Now, tomorrow at Wintergreen Cemetery, we will have a service of remembrance and prayer, remembering those who have given their lives in the service of our country. So you can come to the cemetery at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll gather at the speaker's stand near Soldiers Row, or you can tune in on Facebook live stream. So if you would like to have a particular loved one's name mentioned during the time of remembrance, please jot it down and hand me a note on your way out of service, or you can email me, or you can put a comment after today's worship service so that all those people can be mentioned. We will have our prayer breakfast. I'm saying this in faith because we set this up a month ago. Prayer breakfast at 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday. I think that's right. So show up and see what we have. And then we will have Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we will have the class meeting in the annex. You're welcome to come, or you can join us by Facebook live stream. Lot going on this week. So let's be called to worship now with these words from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, as we go through our week, focusing on all the things we have to do and all the problems we have to solve, it is so easy to lose sight of you, to lose sight of the reason for which you have made us. And so today we would fulfill that purpose as we come to worship. Help us to put aside everything else and focus on you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we might get a glimpse of your glory, so that we might wonder anew at the love and the grace you have shown to us, even to distracted, undeserving sinners like us. For we come claiming only the merits of Christ, relying on his perfect sacrifice and offering the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your pew Bibles, or if you have your own King James Version, you can follow along. Our responsive reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 6, the verses 1 through 10. Jesus is going to quote from this passage in our New Testament reading, so we need to have it before us. Isaiah chapter 6, the verses 1 through 10. I will read the odd-numbered verses, beginning with verse 1, and ask the congregation to respond with the even-numbered verses, ending with verse 10. Let us read this portion of God's word responsibly. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Our hymn is based on this passage. I think you'll see how as we turn to hymn number 1, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So let us join our voices with the seraphim and the cherubim as we sing God's praise using all four stanzas of hymn number 1, and let us stand to sing.
Holy, holy, holy,
We have sung the praise of our holy, holy, holy God, of the Blessed Trinity. Now let us say what we believe about God using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal or in your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Last week, we talked a little bit about our opportunities for mission that we have right here. Some of our folks have gone on a mission trip to West Virginia today, and we will get a report from them sometime after they get back. And we talked about our group that's coming from Jackson, Tennessee to help with a vacation Bible school in Hermanville. But even then, some might say, well, I can't go as far as West Virginia. I can't even go as far as Hermanville. Okay. Well, today, we're going to talk about an opportunity for you to share the gospel without leaving your home. Now, we all know that during this last year of COVID, that we've had to learn how to use all this electronic communication. We've got some folks who are worshiping with us online today. And we've all had Zoom meetings. I know our Sunday school class has met via Zoom. I know I've had Zoom meetings that I've had to attend as well. The General Assembly this summer, some of us are going to be attending virtually via Zoom. And so I think we're a little bit more comfortable with the idea of electronic communication. Think about the opportunity to share the gospel using electronic communication. Now, how would you do that? Well, the easiest thing to do is start with the people you already know. Start with the people who are your friends on Facebook or whatever social media platform that you have. Our church has a weekly Bible study and a weekly worship service that we post on our church Facebook page every week. What if you were to share that with your friends? What if you were to share a daily devotional that we put out every week? That's an easy way for you to spread the gospel, spread the good news with people that you know. Now, what if you know someone who just can't make it to worship? Maybe they have a physical problem, or maybe they're housebound, an injury or something like that, and you're not able to bring them with you to worship. Well, have you thought about going to visit them and take out your phone and watch worship with them? That's an easy way. Most people who come to church for the first time come because a friend invites them. Well, if they can't come, you can go to them and invite them to watch with you and to worship with you. One other thing that you can do, again, without ever leaving your home, is to point people to our church website. Every week, the video that Irene records for us is posted on our church website under the Videos tab. We post sermons, we post the daily Bible study, all kinds of information is there about our church. And so people don't, in a sense, they don't have to come to church to kind of see what it's all about. And you can tell people about our website and encourage them to go. and see for themselves what we're all about. They can visit before they show up. Now, these are all ways that we can share the gospel, share the good news with folks that we know without ever having to leave our homes. So instead of lamenting the way that social media and electronic communication is isolating us, why don't we rejoice in the ways that it can bring us together and use these tools as ways of building the kingdom of God. As we prepare our hearts for prayer, let's now turn in our hymnals to selection 350 as we ask God to show us not only opportunities for mission, but to show us His will in His Word. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 350, "Open My Eyes That I May See," and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. And as is so often the case with our second hymn, we have already begun our prayer time. We've already asked God to open our eyes, to open our ears, to open our hearts, and then to open our mouths with the good news. So let us now continue in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we give you thanks and we give you praise that you have indeed called us. You have not just called us to be saved. You have not just called us to be your own. You have called us to share the good news, to share what you have done in our lives, to share the truth that we find in the Scriptures, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we all know folks who need to know Christ or who need to know Him better. And so we would pray for those who need Christ. We pray, Father, for those who have not yet heard the gospel. It's hard for us, living as we do in the Bible Belt, to imagine that. But there are people who haven't yet heard about Jesus and His love. And so we would pray that you would send out laborers into your harvest field to share the gospel with those who still need to hear it for the first time. Lord, we thank you for all manner of electronic communication that's allowing this to happen. We thank you for Gideon Bibles that are being distributed from phone to phone in countries where it's illegal to have a Bible. We thank you, Lord, for satellite television, for the ministry of Sat7 as they are broadcasting in Arabic all over the world, especially in countries where it's illegal to be a Christian. We thank you. But Lord, we also thank you that just as you called Isaiah to go, you call us to share the gospel with those around us. And so we pray, O Lord, for those who need to know Christ better. We pray for those for whom the circumstances of their lives have made it difficult for them to believe the good news. We pray for those wrestling with grief. We pray for those wrestling with injury or pain or chronic illness in themselves or their loved ones. We pray for those who are wondering about where their next meal will be or perhaps how they will meet their monthly bills. Lord, we pray for those who are lonely, and there are many during this COVID season that are stuck at home and feel that no one cares. Lord, we pray for those who are far away from home. We pray for our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines, especially those stationed overseas. We ask that you would bless them and encourage them. Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, we know that there are many whose soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines never did come home. And so we pray for all of those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones this weekend. Father, we pray that as we minister to others, as we show and share the love of Jesus Christ with others, Lord, that you would help us to know what to say, but also, Lord, that you would open the ears and the eyes and the hearts of those who will see and hear, and help them, Lord, to come to Christ. Draw them unto yourself, for we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Our scripture reading today, we continue our study of Matthew's gospel. Today we come to the 13th chapter, a very familiar parable of Jesus, the parable of the sower and the soils. I'll read verses 1 through 23. You can follow along in your pew Bibles or in your online order of service. This is the word of the Lord. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat beside the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart has waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. That is God's word. May he give us ears to hear today. Why don't they get it? Why don't they get it? This is the teacher's perennial lament. You have determined the objectives you want your student to learn, carefully considering the curriculum and keeping in mind your student's ability and interest level. You have designed your methods with your objectives in mind, and you have implemented them carefully according to your lesson plan. Then you make up a test based solely on the objectives that you have taught. You have done everything right, but half of the class flunked. What went wrong? Why don't they get it? Jesus knew that his disciples would have similar experiences. He knew they would encounter such frustrations and disappointments, and so, to give them some perspective, he taught them the parable of the sower, a parable which is a great comfort for preachers and for all those who try to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the main point of this parable is that God is the one who is responsible for the results of the ministry of the word. It is not the quality of the preaching or the witnessing that produce the outcome. Instead, the response is determined by the heart of the hearer. Now, Jesus makes this point shockingly clear as he quotes in verses 14 and 15 from Isaiah 6, which we read responsively this morning. In that passage, God sends Isaiah into a preaching ministry, but at the same time, God tells Isaiah that his message will fall largely on deaf ears. And just as Jesus packaged his messages in parables, so God told Isaiah to tell the people not to understand. God told Isaiah to bring about heart hardening and spiritual blindness among his listeners. That's what God told Isaiah. But that isn't really what Isaiah did. I mean, anyone who has spent any time in the book of Isaiah knows that he was nothing if not direct. In fact, he's so straightforward about the nature of the people's sin and so insistent about their need for repentance that oftentimes we modern readers put the book down, wearied by the repetition. Isaiah didn't try to hide anything from anyone. And neither did Jesus' disciples. Are there any writings in the Bible more clear about the need for repentance than Peter's epistles? Did John hold anything back about the divinity or the humanity of Christ? Paul, well, he may not always be easy to understand, but the essence of his Christ-centered message, The idea that God saves sinners by His grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that shines through everything that Paul writes. It's never in doubt. So why don't people understand such a clear message? Think again about the main point of the parable of the sower and the soils. The reason people don't receive God's truth is not a function of the message. It's a function of the heart of the one who hears. That is why Jesus says, anyone who has open ears should hear His words. The comprehension problem is not in the speaking. It's in the hearing. Okay, so what are these different types of hearers? In what different kinds of soil will the seed of the Word of God be sown? Well, Jesus says that the first group of listeners are like soil on a path, soil by the wayside. We all know what happens to ground that is used as a path. In dry weather, it becomes packed down and hard, so that any seeds that fall on it would just bounce off and would therefore easily be consumed by scavenging birds. Seed that falls on a wayside has no chance. We understand that. But what does that have to do with human hearts? Well, I think it points back to that sobering truth we encountered in the previous chapter of Matthew. The sad fact that some people's hearts are hardened like that dirt path, hardened against the gospel, hardened against the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees, for example, were so determined not to trust in Jesus that they could look at His miracles of healing and come to the conclusion that His power was not divine, but somehow demonic. And Jesus said that people who had become hardened like that, people who were opposed to the work of the Holy Spirit, well, they could not be forgiven. They had passed the spiritual point of no return. And don't we get glimpses of that kind of hardness these days? Don't we get glimpses of that? With violent crime soaring, with murder rates rising, with anarchists trashing our largest cities, with the twin scourges of cancel culture and anti-Semitism spreading in what used to be known as the land of the free, we don't have much room anymore, do we, to deny the existence of evil? And unfortunately, that means there are some folks who never will respond to the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter how sincerely, no matter how winsomely it is presented. Just like the birds carry away the seeds scattered on a path, the gospel just doesn't have a chance to take root in hardened hearts. That's a sad but certain reality. But that's not the only problem Jesus identifies in His parable. For He next turns to the seed that falls on thin, rocky soil. Again, we understand this. Every gardener knows how easy it is for seed to sprout up in such a place. Grass sometimes grows in the cracks in a concrete sidewalk. But it also soon withers and dies, because its roots can reach no moisture. Jesus says this kind of soil, this thin, rocky soil, is like those who receive the word with joy, but then they fall away in times of affliction or persecution. Now, when we hear the word persecution, we generally think about rather dramatic things, you know, ISIS thugs or communist bullies. And we cannot deny that far too many of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world regularly find themselves in physical danger from this kind of organized, sometimes state-sponsored opposition. Persecution is real. But we also know that many who experience that kind of violence actually have their faith in Christ strengthened. The church is growing fastest in places like Iran, where it's illegal to be a Christian. And maybe you remember those striking images of the ISIS thugs killing Christians on the beach in Libya. Many of those Christians were calling out the name of Jesus with their last breath, bearing witness to those who murdered them. That's not what Jesus is talking about in this passage. Those people don't fit Jesus' description of stony places. So who are the ones who have no deepness of earth? Who are the ones who have no firm roots in themselves? It's those whose response to affliction, those whose reaction to persecution turns them away from Christ. And we all know folks like that too, don't we? Maybe you've thought it, or maybe you've heard someone say, "Well, I can't believe in God anymore. Because if God were real, he never would have allowed me to get sick. I can't believe in God anymore. Because if God were real, he never would have allowed this relationship to fall apart. He never would have allowed me to lose this job. He never would have allowed my loved one to die. He never would have allowed me to fall into poverty." Why do people fall away from Christ? It's not because the problems they face are so serious. After all, those orange jumpsuited Christians on the beach in Libya held on to their faith in the midst of persecution we can only imagine. No. People lose their faith. People fall away from Christ because they have a hearing problem. Unlike the seed on the wayside, their problem is not spiritual hardness. They hear the words that Christ speaks, and they understand the word that Christ speaks. But you might say they have what we call selective hearing. Well, they've heard the gospel, but only the parts they wanted to hear. And I think we can understand this kind of temptation. I mean, we all love certain parts of the Bible. We all have our favorite chapters or verses that we go back to when we need to be comforted, don't we? We love to hear about forgiveness. We love to hear about love and God's unconditional acceptance and God's grace. I never get more attaboys than when I'm preaching the grace of God to undeserving sinners. We all love to hear it. But if it's all the same to you, preacher, I'd rather you skip over the part about sin or the need for repentance, the need for personal holiness, the need to put the remnants of sin to death in my life. You can just skip over that part. Let's get back to grace. Right? We've all got our favorite parts. We've all got those parts of the Bible we'd rather not hear about. And then we've got those parts of the Bible that we actually dismiss, don't we? I mean, do we really believe what the Bible says about how we're going to experience trials in order to make us like Jesus? Do we really hear what the Bible says when Jesus tells us, take up your cross, practice self-denial? Or when Jesus says, you're going to go through persecutions because I did? Do we really hear that? Or do we kind of tune it out? Brothers and sisters, we need to hear the whole counsel of God. We need to hear everything Jesus has to say. We need to hear everything the Bible has to say. Even those words about suffering. Even those words about chastening. Even those words about opposition. For if we don't, if we just stay with the parts we like, if we kid ourselves, if we imagine that those prosperity gospel preachers are right, that all you got to do is name it and claim it, and any sickness is going to go away, and any blessing you're going to have, you're going to receive it. Just put your hand on the TV and send in a donation. You're going to get that Cadillac. Y'all, if we believe that, if we kid ourselves, if we imagine that following Jesus is going to guarantee us a prosperous and pain-free life, we're going to wither at the first sign of testing. We're going to end up like those stony places where no seed can grow because it has no depth of earth. But Jesus goes on. He talks about a third group of hearers, might even be closer to home. He compares them to soil full of thorns, soil full of weeds. Oh, the seed falls there, all right. It even grows up, but because its vitality is choked by all the vegetation around it, it produces no fruit. Jesus says this kind of soil is like people who have heard the gospel, but their life is choked. It's choked with one of two things. It's choked either by worries and cares on the one hand, or choked by riches and pleasures on the other. Because of these distractions, such people, well, they've heard the word, but it has borne no fruit in them. And so, if the first group really didn't hear the word at all, and the second group heard the word selectively, this third group hears the word, but they hear it faithlessly. For some of these faithless hearers, oh, they acknowledge that Jesus is powerful. They acknowledge that Jesus is good in their minds. But then they still give themselves over to anxiety instead of trusting him. In the face of all their problems, in the face of all their responsibilities, they insist on worrying instead of relying on Jesus to take care of them. Do you know anyone like that? Maybe, like me, you see that person in the mirror all too often. And that kind of faithlessness, that worry, that anxiety, it robs our lives of fruitfulness. Of course, there is another way to hear Jesus' words faithlessly. And that is to focus our attention on all the good things that this world has to offer. And some people do that. Oh, they hear the word. They hear what the Bible says about storing up your treasures in heaven, but they devote their lives to worldly gain and wealth anyway. Others, well, they've heard what the word says. They've heard Jesus call to his disciples to be holy, to put the remnants of sin to death in our lives, but they're too enamored of the sensations, of the experiences that this world has to offer. They're too busy pursuing pleasure to care what Jesus says. Worriers, misers, libertines, what do they all have in common? All these surrounded by thorns and weeds. The focus of their lives is inward rather than outward. The focus is on themselves rather than on God. So yes, they've heard the word of God, but they have borne no fruit because they have missed its main point. But the fact is, we don't become Christians in order to please ourselves. We don't become Christians in order to feel good about ourselves. We don't even become Christians in order to be saved from hell. No, if we have truly heard the word, if we know that God saves undeserving sinners by his grace alone, then we will follow Jesus. Not for what we can get out of the deal, because we know we don't deserve anything. We will follow Jesus for what we can give to him in gratitude and obedience. We will follow Jesus, in other words, not for our benefit, but for his glory. And to prove this, let's look at Jesus' parable again. This time, let's look at the good soil. For why does a farmer plant, for example, why does he plant corn so close together? Have you ever wondered about that? You go and look at the cornfield, and it's like, give those plants a little room. Give them a little breathing room. They're right up next to each other. Why do they do that? Is the farmer's primary concern how tall or how straight the corn plants are? No. Why do growers of peaches, for example, why do they prune their trees to look like a vase with wide spreading branches? They look really weird if you've ever seen a peach tree. Why do they prune them like that? Do they just like their trees to look like that? No. The farmer's concern is produce. The farmer's concern is fruit. He plants the corn together to maximize the number of ears he produces on each acre. He prunes his trees so they will produce larger fruit that is resistant to both drought and frost. And God has a similar purpose for us. God wants his word to take hold in the lives of those who hear it so that we might bear fruit. Now, what does this fruit look like? Well, we could go tromping off to Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, but let's stick with this parable for just a moment more. Fruit. What does every fruit have in it? Seeds. In this parable, what are the seeds? The Word of God. So if a believer is going to bear fruit, well, that means somehow he or she is going to be multiplying and spreading the Word of God, right? So instead of being focused on ourselves, our concern should be to tell others about Jesus. Instead of grousing about our pain or our affliction, instead of being bitter about the circumstances of our lives, our desire will be to glorify the one who has saved us. We won't let the seed of the word bounce off of our closed ears or our hard heart. We will take that seed of the word into ourselves and we'll let it germinate. And then we will show and share Christ with others for their sake. But as we seek to do this, as we seek to bear fruit by spreading the gospel, we do need to remember the lesson of this parable. After all, those who see our deeds of love, those who hear our words of truth, well, they might have the same response that many of the people had to Isaiah. They might have the same response that those Pharisees and other people had to Jesus. They might not listen. Or they might listen selectively. Or they might listen faithlessly. They might even persecute us in some way for our faith. But at the end of the day, that's not our problem. We are God's ambassadors. We are God's seed sowers. We are not God's heart surgeons. We cannot make anyone else believe the truth about Jesus. We have to pray that God would do that. But just as we ourselves have responded to the gospel in faith, we can be confident that others will too. Didn't Jesus say some of the seed would fall on good soil? And so Christ wants us to sow the seed. Christ wants us to share the good news of the gospel everywhere we go, not just with our lips, but with our lives. Christ wants us to bring more people into his kingdom so that he might receive the praise and the glory that he deserves. And so, in order to share the fruit, in order to spread the word, we have to be like that good soil. We have to receive the word first. We need to have ears to hear. So this week, even before we start spreading the gospel, even before we start praying that God will tenderize the hearts of those who need more of Christ, we need to start listening. This week, will we listen? Will we really listen to what God's word says? Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night Bible study, not just when we open the daily devotional. Will we listen all day, every day? Will we listen to the word? Not selectively, not faithlessly. Will we listen with humble and obedient hearts? Will we listen in order to spread the word? Will we listen in order to let the light of Christ shine through us? Will we listen in order to seek and save the lost? Let us pray. Lord, help us to listen to what you have to say. Don't let us turn our ears and our hearts away from those hard things, but instead let us embrace Christ in all his fullness. Yes, in his empty tomb, but also in his cross. Lord, let us truly be like Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might respond to the gospel, not out of self-interest, but so that you might receive all the glory and all the praise for your grace, your love, your power, your fullness of truth. And we pray this in the name of your living word, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is a continuation of that prayer. We take up our hymnals and turn to selection 378. Selection 378. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 378, and let us stand to sing. May we have ears to hear what God is telling us this week. May we have hearts to receive the truth, and then may we bear fruit in our lives. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.